We'll move to the gathering of the others. Good morning, church. How is everyone doing this morning? Are we all doing well? So, Kai Mayo, remember what I said. We can't see the aunties be doing things and you are sitting down. So I want you guys to take over. If you see the aunties doing it, take it from them and you do it. So you are the next generation. You need to start stepping up. Okay? So you need to start praying for some of the young men also. Okay, some of them are engaged in some things there. So, are we all doing well, young men? Eh? Good. Very good. Right, worry that I don't pass you. Shalewa, it's good to see you. To see you, Lamis, this morning. And to all the grandmas in the house, good morning. You know, you get all to have a. Eh? Who? No. Sister Shalewa, is this your first time? Oh, you haven't been. Congratulations, you're welcome. Yes. She's been in the Bible study for how many years now? First time in church. Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome. Who else? Rashagum is in here, donkey years now. Oh, she's been here before. You don't that sister Kemi. Okay, Sister Kemkesh. That is my friend from Nigeria. That is the person who brought Sister Wura to the church. Oh. So if all of you are sitting down, you're not bringing people. Somebody from Nigeria is bringing somebody. Amen. Amen. Sister Kemi was here 5 years ago now, right? Yeah, she was here 5 years ago. She was here with her daughter then. Praise the Lord. All right. Please, let's take just 1 minute. Go around. Somebody you've never seen before, you know, just greet the person. So Ibrahim, you lead everybody. So you start. Anyway, somebody you haven't met before, just get their name, get their number. Brother Ken. Amen. Let us have our seats. Let us have our seats now. Yeah, dear. God bless you. All right, so let's have our seats. How good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. We bless the Lord. Amen. All right. So, in the last few weeks, we have been looking, we started with the topic of prayer, and we moved on to another topic of spiritual warfare, in which prayer also is an integral part of spiritual warfare, which I title The Fight. As we have been looking at that aspect of our walk as Christians vis-a-vis the battle we face once we become Christians. And it's a battle that no Christian chooses, but as you become a Christian, you are automatically enrolled in this battle. And that is why we are called soldiers for the Lord. Angels were created to serve God, to obey him, to do his will. And there came a time, as we read in the book of Isaiah 14, where one of the chief creations of God, called Lucifer, the angel of light, fell because he wanted to usurp the authority and the position of the Most High. And in the creation of man, God created man and breathed into man to take that same place of being obedient to God and doing the will of God, to take the dominion of God over his creation. And ever since then, there has been that battle that man would not do the will of God, because what Satan did when he fell was to take myriads of angels with him in his fall. And because Satan already knows his end, with angels, there's no grace. Every angel that fell is looking forward to the lake of fire. With man, God has given grace. And so Satan has said that this man that has been given grace, that has been made in the image of God, will not serve God. And we remember what Satan said to Job when we read in Job 1. Is it for nothing that Job serves you? Strip him of everything he has, and he will do what? He will curse you to your face. The same thing that Satan, Lucifer, did is what he entices every man to do. And thus is the fight that we have all and are all engaged in, whether we like it or not. The Bible tells us also we should not be unaware of the devices. The Greek word for that devices is method, methodology, methods, the wiles of the enemy. We should not be unaware of how Satan comes about to do his bidding, not the bidding of the Father. He wants to do his bidding upon the earth, to despise, to deceive, to accuse, to bring everyone that will stand for Christ, to bring them down. But God in his infinite wisdom, has given us the wherewithal to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Amen. So last week also, we looked at the first aspect when we're looking at Ephesians. We'll open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 again. We'll continue from there. Ephesians chapter 6, remember that we were looking at the topic of be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we said that the first weapon we have, which is the base of every weapon, in which every weapon is to fight the enemy, every weapon that we have is something about the Lord Jesus Christ that he has given us. So if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything to fight Satan with. Let me repeat it. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything to fight Satan with. And remember what we read about Satan. Some of the things that we read about when God created Satan, what did God create into him? He was beautiful. Beautiful. Majestic, wise, and powerful. No man in his own strength can take on Satan. Even angels do not take on Satan. It took the archangel to help another archangel to defeat Satan for the answer that one of the children of God had been praying to come. That we read in the book of Daniel. When Daniel took time to fast and to pray to seek God for the deliverance of Israel from where? Keziah. Remember where? Huh? Exactly, from Babylon. From Babylon. What is Babylon called today? Maya. No. Kai. Eh? Cookie? Turkey? No. Iran. Iran and Iraq, that area. But they're called as a group the Persians. The Persians. And remember what prince did that angel that brought the answer to Daniel say was had come to waylay him? The prince of Persia. So we remember what we are talking about, that in the kingdom of the enemy, when the Bible talks about principalities and powers, there are princes over territories, there are principalities, there are powers, there's spiritual wickedness over countries, over states, over localities. And just as there are hierarchies in the kingdom of God, we have cherubim, we have seraphim, we have archangels, we have the 24 elders, we have the English word times beasts, another term it the four living creatures. In the kingdom of God, there are hierarchies. And do you know something? Satan has always, from the beginning, wanted to counterfeit everything that God does. And so in the kingdom of Satan, there are hierarchies also. And so, remember what we said, that every country, when we see a vice, you'll imagine, why is it that a country is identified with a vice? It is the power behind it. You can't look long and far. The prince of Nigeria, what is his motive of operation? Eh? Greed, corrupt, that's the prince of Nigeria. The prince of America. Sorry? Tell me, Sister Jackie. Me, I don't know. It's not my kingdom, so. But everyone, there are, I don't know whether there's a prince, but there might be a principality or a power over Hanover. They said they don't have. That's, you are right. So these powers that we see, it is not ordinary thing that when you talk about a country, you talk about a vice. There's a power behind it. The wars that we are seeing, it's the same thing. Because the modus operandi of Satan is to steal, to do what? To kill and to destroy. To destroy. Anything that God has done, he wants to destroy it. He's like a, and it's not like, he is a spirit on death row. And when you are on death row and you still have your freedom, you want to destroy and take as much captives as you can with you. That is the modus operandi of Satan. But every Christian has been given a weapon. The first thing, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you are strong in the Lord, the Bible tells us that those who fear the Lord encamps his angels round about those who do what? Who fear him. When the Bible talk, when we read about Job and Satan came, and Job's Satan said that, you have created a hedge around Job, right? Many of us, when we think about hedge, what do we think about? A bush around, that is the picture that comes to our mind, right? But do we, is it really a physical bush that God has put around? Spiritual bush. So how many flowers grow in that spiritual bush? Sorry? Is it fence? Is it made of cement or what? Steel. Now you are talking. Now you are talking. Exactly. Fire. But do you know who God makes fire? His angels. So when we read, Brother Segun was reading this morning, he was reading about Elisha, right? The army of Syria, they encompassed Elisha. It wasn't only the country now. They came for Elisha himself. It's good to know God. It's good to know God. Because Elisha, he didn't fear. You see, when you know the person who stands behind you, you won't need to be afraid. The person who was afraid was his servant. And his servant was like, my master, master, master. Look, 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 look. You know how when fear comes, you get the anointing of stammering easily. All the armies around us. What did Elisha say? Lord, simple prayer. Open his eyes. And when the servant's eyes were opened, what did he see? He saw chariots of fire. Chariots of, I believe this is what surrounded Job. The Bible didn't say that though. Please, so don't quote it as scripture. It's just, this is when I think about it, I don't think about a hedge of roses. I don't think about a hedge of cement. I always think about a hedge of fire and angels. So, when you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the angels of the Lord will surround you, especially when you are doing the bidding of the Lord. The angels of the Lord, they surround you. The interesting thing, and I don't know why God does it that way, many times the people who are in the occultic, they see. They see in the spirit realm easily. But for the children of God, maybe it's because we have to have faith and believe and trust God. God doesn't open up, maybe from time to time, God might open our eyes. But for the most part, The things of the spirit, they are happening without our being aware, without our knowledge of it. We only see the results at the end. So nothing happens. Let's understand that. Nothing happens in the physical until it has happened in the spiritual. So when wars happen, it's because in the spiritual there have been some transactions and things that have happened that war now starts on the earth. When Daniel began to pray for the deliverance of the children of Israel from Babylon, and remember that there was a prince over Babylon, right? The prince of Persia. And at the end of that chapter, the angel said to Daniel that after I have gone, the prince of Greece, after the prince of Persia has been defeated and gone, the prince of Greece will now come. Homework for you if you don't know. Said the prince of Greece will now come. After the Babylonian Empire was destroyed, what empire came after? The Medo-Persian. After the Medo-Persian, what empire came? The Greeks. After the Greeks, what empire came? The Romans. Do you know that every civilization we call the Western world is patterned after the Roman world? England, America, Europe. When you go to DC and you see all those columns, what do you call them? Roman columns. The world system, there's an order about it because there's a God over the world system. There's a God over the world system. But you know something? The Lord has called us to be in the world, but not to be a part of the world, not to be off the world. So there's a pattern around the world system. The same way there's a pattern around the system of the kingdom of God himself. The pattern around the world system is that to get ahead in life, you cut down those whom you can cut down to step over them for promotion. In the pattern of the children of God, in the kingdom of God, to get ahead, what do you do? Eh? Sorry? You go to the bottom and serve. In the kingdom of the world, to amass wealth, what do you do? Eh? You take, whatever you can do. You steal, whatever you can do. Eh? Is there any politician here? In God's own system, to get in life, what do? You give. Ah, thank God. Are there children of God here? Oh. So you give. So there is a world system, and we are not supposed to be part of that world system. Okay, let me tell you again, my brothers and sisters. There is a dressing that is of the children of this world, and there's a dressing that is the children of the kingdom. The children of this world, the dressing, what do they do in their dressing? They reveal their nakedness. They reveal their nakedness. From the day man sinned and God asked them, "Who told you were naked?" They lost everything that God had given them in innocence. Now they have to be covered. The children of God, what do they do in their dressing? They cover up. So you can easily know who is who. If you see women wearing 3 feet down and 3 feet up, you know whose father they are. Thank you, brother. You know whose children they are. But and so there is, and the key word for the children of God is modesty. It doesn't say don't look good, it's modesty. Sister Kika, did you say something? Oh, how do you mean, men? Okay. Well, how do we know the men? Okay. This is how you know the men. You know, it's very easy. That's exactly what it is. For the men of the world, their dressing is, there are these birds during the mating season. The male, they do their feathers. I don't know if you've ever watched those documentaries. They puff up where the colors will show so that they can attract mates, right? In the children of the world, they are no different, but they puff up not only so that they can attract mates, but so that the world will see them that I have arrived. And all I can boast of is money. That's all I have in life, nothing else. I don't have relationships. I don't have peace. I don't have joy. All I have is money. And so, if all I have is money, guess what I will show you? Money. That's it. So the men of the world, all they can show you is what they are full of. The men of the kingdom, what they show you is how they can lift up holy hands to praise God. How they can, in humility, treat their wives properly. Sister Ronki, I didn't hear you. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying the one that's because of, yeah, right, yeah. Well, give them time. Bracken, yes, yeah, in your hearts, yeah. Thank you, thank you.
By behavior. Woman by
Very true. Because men are visual beings. So, young ladies. Well, young ladies. Hello. Okay. Mommy is young also. You know, mommy is single again, so she's in the. When you see men, you know what you look for? Saga? Oh, SAG. Oh, so that is your own gender. Please, what is SAG? Okay. Those ones are boys, not men. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. So, the Lord keeps his angels around those who fear him. But you have to fear God for God to keep that hedge around you. But there's something that breaks the hedge also. It is called sin. Because what sin does is it gives Satan, you know, that we called, one of the things we called about, talked about Satan a few weeks ago was that he's the accuser of the brethren. So if he goes to God to accuse you and has a right to what he's saying, then you open yourself up for that hedge to be parted for the enemy to come in. You open yourself up. That is why, for a Christian, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says in the book of 1 John, if we sin, we should remember that we have an advocate. We have a lawyer with God. Because the enemy will accuse us before God. But Jesus, our Lord, in his high priestly role, is the one that speaks for us before God to say that this one is mine, is covered by my blood. So, what I'm saying in essence, if you do sin, rather than run away from God, run to God. Because what happens if we sin I mark my words. If I'm not saying when is that you are expecting yourself to sin, right? When is that I will do it and I know God will forgive me? No, that is not the heart of a child of God. If you do sin because you want to walk right before your Father, but if it happens, run to God. Satan will accuse you. Satan will want to keep you down with shame and guilt, but run to God. Run to God so that that hedge that we have breached by sin, Christ by grace and repentance will close it back. Let me read a story to us. Just to, you know, it's not only in biblical times angels surrounded the children of God. You know, because sometimes we don't see it, right? The Bible says that in Psalm 91, he keeps his angels charge over us to lift us up or to keep us in all our ways, lest we dash our feet against a stone. So it's all over in the word of God that God keeps his, because that's what God created angels for. That is what the meaning of angelos, messenger, that is what it means. To do the bidding of God. And God's bidding is that the messengers of God will take care of the children of God. Let me read this story to you. It's about a man called Reverend John Patton. And Reverend John Patton was a missionary. A trailblazing missionary in the South Pacific in a place called the New Hebrides Islands. The story illustrates how God provides angels to protect and care for his believers. And this is a real story. This is not fictional. This is a real story. One night, Reverend Patton and his wife found themselves threatened by hostile natives who surrounded their mission headquarters. The Pattons thought for sure that the natives will burn down the headquarters and kill them both. They prayed throughout the night, asking God to protect them from harm. The next morning, they were astonished when they realized that the natives had gone away. They had no idea where or why they had left. The missionaries again prayed and thanked the Lord for saving them. About a year later, the chief of the native tribe who had threatened them became a Christian. He came to visit the Pattons. When he was asked about the incident of the night of terror, the chief told the Pattons that he and his men were too fearful to carry out their plans of attack. They had seen an army of giant men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands, surrounding the mission grounds. Patton and the chief agreed that there was no explanation other than that God had sent angels to keep the missionaries from harm. This was a true story. At times, when we read the Bible, we think, oh, those are biblical characters. It doesn't happen today. Brothers and sisters, it still happens. It still happens to those who fear God. Who fear God. You see, in every generation, every nation, in which there are people who stand for God, who do the bidding of God, God hears their cries. A nation where the church becomes soft. A nation where Christians are no longer interceding. A nation where people are now holding more to prosperity, money, blessings, than bruising their knees for souls to be saved, than for people to be delivered. You know what happens? Satan will have full sway. I know this because the Bible tells me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, if anything is wrong with America, The people of America cannot save America. Biden cannot save America. Trump cannot save America. The only people that can save America are the children of God. Because if my people, my own people who are called by my name, unbelievers are not called by the name of God. We are the ones who have been given another name, who are now called by the name of God. And if we will humble ourselves, get on our knees, if we will turn from our wicked ways, if we will repent from our sins, and then call upon the Lord in reality, our nation will be saved. The same thing with Sierra Leone, the same thing with Nigeria, the same thing with Guyana. Because there are princes over every nation. And except you first of all bind the strong man, you can't plunder the house of the strong man. That is why we have been praying over Trinidad and Tobago. Because we know that we cannot go there lackadaisically to say, oh, we are going to do missions and it will open up. There are princes that need to be bound before the captives can be set free. In the book of Revelations, the Bible makes us understand that Satan doesn't allow his captives free. He says it there. Satan doesn't open the prison to his captives. That is how he puts it. So who will set the captives free? It is the children of God. It is the children of God. But if the children of God will not seek God with power to gain power, Elijah, what did he say to Ahab? He said, as I stand before God, there will be no rain for 3 years. And it did happen. Where are the Elijahs of our time? You see, to have that kind of power over Satan, to have that kind of power over princes of the air, it is not, now I lay me down to sleep. It has to be people who are devoted to seeking God, not out of comfort, but out of discomfort. Who will rob themselves of sleep to intercede for the country? Who will rob themselves of food to seek the face of God? When you begin to see people who are taking God seriously like that, God will take their nation seriously. In the time of Israel, when Syria came, there was an Elisha. There was an Elisha. That is why Syria could be routed. Many of us, we've read the book of Rhys Howells, right? In the time of Rhys Howells in England, he was during the Second World War. This was a man who prayed. And the Bible school that he started, the Bible College of Wales, I was there with my wife a few years back. When we get, there's still some things I'll say about that man. You know, these are men who changed the course of time, who changed the course of history. Through the prayers of Rhys Howells, the German army was defeated when they began to approach North Africa. Through the prayer of Rhys Howells, so many things happened that it made news itself. So in every time, every season, for every nation, there has to be the children of God standing for God. Because those are the ones who can make the change. Nigeria would not be saved until Christians begin to seek God, not seek blessings, not seek money, not seek prosperity. When we begin to seek God in seriousness that, no, this prosperity, it means nothing when people are suffering. It's righteousness that we are looking for the hearts of men to be right. For the hearts of women to be right, for politicians themselves to cry out to God. Who do you think will do that? It's people who take God seriously. It's the children of God. And until we ourselves begin to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we will do little on the earth. Demons are subject to those who are subject to Christ. When we become subject to the will of our master, every one of his creations will now have domin we will have dominion over it. But until then, you see, I tell you the stories of people like this because these are the stories of people I also want to pattern my life after. I was reading of an intercessor, who woke up at 5 a.m. to seek the face of the Lord. Then she will go out, have breakfast after, and then come back to the place of prayer again. We read of those two women, one blind, one with arthritis, who devoted themselves every 2 weeks, 2 days a week, from 10 to 3 a.m. They will pray, seeking God for revival. Brothers and sisters, the question I ask myself, do we want disciples or do we want a crowd for church? Is it disciples we're looking for or is it crowd we're looking for? Is it people who will seek the Lord or is it people who will say, because now we have a crowd, our church is full, we are growing in number? Don't let us kid ourselves. The Bible says that when men slept, the enemy sowed tares into the field. And you know how tares look like wheat. Tares, they look like the children of God. So the children of the world and the children of God, they look so much alike. When men slept, the question in our day, are we sleeping? Because if in our churches the world cannot tell the difference between us and the world, what are we doing then? What power do we have? In my own private time, I'm praying these young ones that we will be able to disciple them. There'll be a hunger in them that they will be coming to ask us, Uncle, Auntie, tell me about this scripture. Tell me about what I'm reading. I don't understand. Because when there's a fire that has been lit within the bosom of a person for the Lord, it will come out. You cannot hide fire. You cannot hide fire. It will come out. When there's a desire and a zeal and a hunger, it will come out. When you see young ones, they want to serve, they want to do something for the Lord. It's the fire that we have been praying for. But we're also praying for disciples. We're praying for people who will mentor them, people who themselves have equal fire within them. Because if we are cold, we will douse their fire. We have got to be on fire for the Lord also, so that the deep will begin to call upon the deep. This is what church should be about. So when we are strong in the Lord in the power of his might, we'll begin to see what God has around us. There's a place where we pray for souls to be saved. There's also a place where we pray for nations to be delivered, for the enemy to let the captives go free. People who are bound, there are localities in America where their own vice is fentanyl now, right? Some is oxycodone. It used to be a time when it was cocaine and crack. I think the time of cocaine as crack has passed, right? So the prince of crack has gone. The prince of what has come now? Fentanyl. But who will be the Elishas of that time? Who? The Lord is waiting, brothers and sisters. Elisha is, he's no different from us. He's no different from us. There was nothing special about, extraordinary about him. He only determined to seek God, and God showed up. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you that the weapons of our warfare, you said to us, they are not carnal, but they are mighty. Mighty through you to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, this is your word to us. And I pray, my God, that these weapons that you have been teaching us about, you being our chief weapon, because if we don't have you, we are empty, we have nothing. Lord, we're like food to Satan. But because we have you, we have everything. So, Lord, we are praying, Lord, that you make us more than conquerors, not as a cliche, but by grace and by your fire within us. Lord, make us men and women of prayer, men and women who have determined to take you seriously so that our nation can be saved because there are Elijahs and Elisha's still in the nation. Father, the fathers of the faith that you appointed over many nations, many of them soon will be going away. We will be left on the scene. As Lord, I have asked, are we able? And I know it's not in our ability, but in you who gives grace. So, Father, we pray for that grace. And I pray as every one of us here, we can play a part. The nursing mother can take time to pray. The accountants can take time from their day to seek your face. The teacher can take out of their holidays to intercede. Father, every one of us can take a part if we will take you seriously. So I pray, let your grace fall on each and every one of us, O Lord, that we will take our Christianity more than just an ordinary, we come to church on Sunday and we leave, to us having a vibrant and living relationship with you, seeking you for what you will have done on the earth, that we might pray your will be done, Father, on earth as it is done in heaven, that we might actively seek to be with you, Lord, so that we will say, as I stand before God, so and so will not happen, or so and so will happen, because we have your air. We have your power indwelling us. Your angels of fire, they surround us. And we have every weapon that you have given us, O Lord. You tell us that you have given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Lord, please teach us to use it, O God, that we will not be empty and we will not be barren. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these lessons, Lord, because one day we will all stand before you, and may we not stand as unprofitable staff servants, O Lord, but as servants who have used every talent that they have been given for the furtherance of the kingdom, for the glory of your name, that we might be worthy to receive that commendation. Well done, good and faithful servants. Father, I pray once again, the world, they know their own. They have their own system. Your kingdom, they have their own children. They have their own system. Father, may we not so be so much in the world that we're so much of the world that we're no use to your kingdom any longer. So, Father, please, the glitter that the enemy has tempted men with right from the beginning, let it not be appealing to us, O Lord. You have given us all things. May we, with a heart of contentment, serve you, Father. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.